Hey folks, welcome to the second episode of Catafalque, a Coffin Comics fan podcast. I am your host, Eddie Spaghetti of the Infernal Realms. I can't in good conscience call myself Spaghetti. I was called that as a child and it scorched my poor soul for a year. Yeah, anyways. My name's Ed Moore, I'm your host. I'm looking at Lady Death Damnation Game, the second chapter of the first storyline, published August 2015. Now, having said all that sadness, if there is something that you do want to comment on, you can go to the website comicbooknoise.com/TNC, the letters TNC, Tango November Charlie. Leave a comment there. IamIndieMan@gmail.com is the email address. You can send me an email. Teal Productions, Teal is in the color, T-E-A-L. That's the name all my shows are released under, has a Facebook page, has a Twitter page, and has a Skeet page on Blue Sky. Also, News P Commando is on Twitter also. Now, the book I'm looking at, the character Lady Death was created by Brian Polito. This issue was co-written by Brian Polito and Mike McLean. It was illustrated by Dhiraj Verma. Let's try that. And I apologize if these are incorrect. If anybody knows, send me the correction and I'll be more than happy to work harder to get it right moving forward for sure. Colors are by Sabine Rich and letters by Marshall Dillon. Now the cover, interesting cover, a cover anyways. And that's A as in the first, not a cover, but cover A there. Drawn for us by Paulo Pentelena, probably inked, penciled and inked, or just drawn in ink, however he does it. Colored also by Sabine Rich, the colors for the inside of the book. Lady Death is on the cover. She is sitting on, probably, I would presume, it's supposed to be some sort of throne. Looks like the throne is sitting on a pile of skulls. It's kind of hard to tell. They're not very prominent. She's wearing some pretty kick-ass boots, silver, metallic, with different pieces and parts covering strategically parts of her body, more skin showing than is covered. Behind her, the throne has bat wings and culminates above her in some kind of weird symbolic thing, holding by her right hand much as you would a cane if you were sitting in a chair. She is holding her sword, Chaos. With Chaos has there's some kind of plants also, it looks like, growing behind, like roses, thorny branches and roses on it, and some of it is intertwined around the sword itself. Narrator tells us, Hell, the Defiler approaches its port of call, Damnation. The Defiler is a dirigible, and Damnation is the city that it's approaching, getting ready to anchor in, having gone on whatever mission, being captained by Gula, who's a big greenish, thuggish-looking dude, similar to the character Brock that we saw last issue that was Lady Death's, her weaponsmith, weapon maker, who he appears later on in this book also, but not in that capacity. So Gula has a captive Earthborn child here. His name is Jacob. And he's explaining to Jacob why Jacob's important, and it turns out that he is young enough to still be considered innocent, and the amount of blood that he carries at, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, you know, whatever age the child is enough blood to power the City of Damnation for a very long time, and so Gula is looking forward to being reimbursed for that, for bringing that to the city and giving it to the city. I don't know if he is working for the City of Damnation or those in charge, or if he's been hired like a mercenary or something like that. It's hard to tell. But it doesn't matter because nothing of the sort is going to happen as Lady Death appears, holding the heads in one hand of the three infernals that were guarding this room that Gula is in. She dispatched them all and told Gula she's going to do the same to him, and she guts him. Well, when she does, instead of bursting into that consuming ball of fire, energy, whatever, that has been happening to other infernal creatures, Gula instead ruptures and from his gut emits all of these parasites, kind of reminiscent of the chestbursters out of the Alien franchise, and they come at and attack Lady Death. Well, she is able to throw up a shield to protect she and Jacob, except one of these little critters gets through and embeds itself in her leg. Between the pain and the possibility of what's going to happen, Lady Death thinks to herself, chaos is my only hope, or my damnation. Chaos is the name of her sword. Will the blade purge my flesh of this scourge, or condemn me to oblivion like all the others? So, you know, given that she is supposed to be infernal, demon, or hellborn, but she's not actually. I believe she truly turns out to be earthborn, but has been changed by sorcerous means. She stabs the creature in her leg, through her leg, by stabbing into her leg with the sword. And we see the image is the sword passing through. She's got, like, she's kneeling with one leg bent, right, in an L, like she's getting ready to stand up, stabbing through the top of her thigh, and the sword passes all the way through with this little parasite thing caught on the end of the sword from where it has been stabbed also. So she doesn't go up in a ball of flames, and she is able to quasi-move around despite how much that must have hurt. Lady Death must have some sort of advanced healing factor, like a lot of the other, like a lot of the infernal creatures that she's been encountering. Again, as I just said, I don't believe she's strictly infernal or hellborn. Maybe she's infernal. She's not hellborn. I believe she's earthborn. But she manages to get up and grabs Jacob, tells him to follow her, and runs away. Now, the first, third to half of this story, it was just she and Jacob, and we'll be introduced. And I'll tell you here in a little bit about Haxan, the gentleman, the big beefy gentleman that she meets. But this whole first, like I say, third to half of the book, when it's just Jacob and Lady Death, their banter strikes me as just being very creatively masturbatory. They smart off at each other. The jokes are kind of on the easy, shallow side. It all just strikes me as you have the freedom to put stuff in there, so you're just going to put it in there, whether it would be genuine or not, just because, you know, in your head you think it's funny. I don't know. It just, there are aspects of the talking between the two of them that just strike me as very sophomoric. The art and the story, no, I don't have any problems really with either one. They are what they are. You know, it's not an attempt at great literature or to try to rival Shakespeare. It is entertaining. It is very creative, the different creatures and the different things from hell. I would presume that Polito has not been there himself, nor MacLaine. So, you know, their imaginations of what it could be are entertaining, to say the least. Just the banter particularly from Jacob. It's just, and I guess that's meant to show perhaps that he is that single-digit age, junior high, or what would that be? That'd be middle school, junior high kind of age mentality. But she barks right back using the same poor humor. It just, that part of the story just didn't work for me very well. The rest of the story is fine. I think I particularly enjoy that the writer is the same as the first issue. And so the two are very seamless as far as moving from one book to this book. Okay, let me step off my bitch box here. So they're trying to get away. They have made it to the top of the dirigible, the balloony part, the dirigible itself. And they're running away from the horde of guards and men at arms that Gula was in charge of. Well, they're running towards the end of the dirigible. So sooner or later, they're just going to run out of territory, right? They're going to be trapped there. And it does indeed happen, and they are at the end facing just a massive horde of these creatures. Suddenly, Visago appears, and Lady Death jumps on her horse. That's the horse's name, by the way. And grabs Jacob, throws him on the saddle behind her, and they ride off. The soldiers, you know, throwing up their fists, you damn witch, shooting at her and all this other stuff. As she's riding off, they do encounter Lady Death and Jacob on the horse, encounter several flying infernal guards, but she disappears as they encounter her because, in truth, she and Jacob are still on the dirigible. They have managed to get down to an escape ladder, and as the dirigible is approaching its mooring building where it was heading for. They jump off onto the building and seek shelter because she has killed the actual pilot of the dirigible and pinned him to the steering wheel. And the dirigible is going to crash into this headquarters building that is in the middle, I would presume, you know, or is important in the city of Damnation. And all of it explodes. And that occurs on a two-page spread. The upper two-thirds of the two pages, and then the bottom third is a series of six panels where we find out a little bit more about Lady Death and a little bit more about Jacob. The Lady Death part, basically, we found out about if we read last issue. So if you didn't read last issue, if this was your first, this is your kind of catch-up. And then a little bit more about Jacob and who he is and what he's doing. Their conversation is interrupted by the introduction of Damnation Dogs. Yeah, kind of the creatures like Thundar. Didn't he yell Damnation Dogs? No, I don't think so either. He yelled something dogs. Demon Dogs is what Thundar yelled. But these are really nasty looking things. They've got bat ears and red eyes and a squishy kind of weird nose. Big sharp pointy teeth. Tongues that are like half the length of their body, all, I guess, rolled up in their mouth. I don't know where they put them in their mouth, but looks like their spines, too, maybe grow protrusions that poke through the skin of the creature along the ridge of its back. Just if you took a canine and tried to think up as many nasty non-Cthulhu tentacled kind of things that you could think to make it a disgusting creature, that's what they put on these dogs. So that's what they look like. So she is backed into Lady Death is backed into the back of a one-way alley, a dead-end alley. She throws Jacob behind her, pulls out her sword Chaos, and is about to fight him off. And in the midst of this, one of the dogs is struck through the eyeball with a orange something. Don't know if it was thrown. Don't know what it was. Turn the page and we see it is the tip of a sword being wielded by a rather beefy, sexy, ripped-looking hellborn. Dark skin tone, black hair, with odd green glowy sigils on both of his shoulders and his chest, and I would presume his back also. I don't know ultimately if we see much of his back. No, here's the shot of his back. No sigil there, but the shoulders and the chest. It's a green, like sickly green color, like a luminescent split pea kind of color. And he helps Lady Death fight off the demon dogs and all the handlers and soldiers and everything that had caught up with her. His name is Haxan. Hazan? Haxan? Hazan? Yeah, I'm not sure. I think I'll pronounce it Hazan. Because he does actually have kind of that Middle Eastern kind of vibe in just the way he looks. Hazan kind of sounds Middle Eastern to me. I apologize. I do not mean to be insulting. I am catastrophically Caucasian, and I have been exposed to the world that I've been exposed to. I do my best to not knowingly insult people. So if I have said in that Hazan sounds Middle Eastern, Asian, and you feel insulted, I apologize. That was not my intent. It is my limited worldview from which I can pull. I try to expand it, do the best I can. There we are. So, okay. Moving on. Lady Death. Now, Lady Death also, she is wearing, I guess she must have dressed in a way to infiltrate the dirigible. I didn't point this out. But she is wearing probably the most clothing I have seen on her in a very long time. She's got breeches. She's got a black top that is textured across her body, giving the top like ridges, the width of her body. She has some kind of cloak with arms and a hood, but it flows out behind her like a cape would from, you know, just below the shoulders. So it's like this hood going into arms, full arms all the way down to her wrists, and then right below her shoulders, it just opens up into a cape, and it's not formed like a coat or anything. Very interesting. And it's split. down the middle so that it flats out to the side like wing tails almost. But this is what she's wearing as she's whipping around, running on the end of the dirigible, and now that she's in the City of Damnation. So it's kind of a little different look. She does have a black collar on. Looks to be about 3 inches wide on. So she's doing the... Yeah, I'm not going to try to insult anybody else. She's doing a particular look. I'll give her that. So she is... turns out she used the dirigible as locomotion. She wants to get to Damnation to find the, let's see what it's called, the Hades engine. And oddly enough, Hazan knows exactly where it is. The Hades engine turns out to be a device that will allow Lady Death to open a bridge from Hell to Topside, which I'm going to presume is our dimension, the regular earthly dimension. And fortunately, she has found Jacob because a drop of innocent blood is what is needed to power the Hades engine. And so she has that in spades in Jacob. So the discussion between the three of them as they come up to a rise, and Hazan points out where the Hades engine is, and then Lady Death explains what she's going to do and why she needs Jacob's help. Jacob seems okay with that, I guess, because it's just a drop of blood, whereas, you know, Gula was going to drain him like a pig and eat his eyeballs. That's actually what Gula said. The eyeballs were his favorite part, but he's dead now, so. Now, this whole time, and the longer Jacob stays alive, and the more time and energy Lady Death puts into protecting Jacob, my comic book senses are starting to become piqued that something is going on with Jacob. He is part of this. He's not what he seems. Something is going on with him in my mind at this point while I'm reading the book the first time. I usually read these 2 or 3 times just to try to make sure that I pick up everything. I make some notes, but I don't make too many notes because I don't want to get caught wanting to mention something and not having it written down and having brain freeze while I try to figure it out. So I try to walk that line between notes and no notes. And as you can tell, any mostly podcast you've ever heard, I am not reading it, because if I was reading it, I hopefully would sound much better than I typically do as far as trying to get points across and whatnot. But so as I'm reading, you know, and taking notes and everything, names, something about Jacob is just not meshing with me. But he's hanging in there. Hazan and Lady Death are leading through the different parts outside, the different obstacles and creatures that they have to kill. Now they have gotten inside of the citadel where the Hades engine is, the bottom most stankiest part of the citadel, because it's the easiest part to enter. It's the least protected. It's, you know, much akin to when people want to break into buildings here in real life. A lot of times they'll start at the sewer, you know, street level, or the sewers below. That's where they have gotten in, except the sewers in this citadel, from where earthborn people are used to power both the City of Damnation, but also this Hades engine that is in this citadel. The remains of humanity become pretty nasty and turn into this pukey, greenish-looking, funky-smelling, bubbling, oozy stuff that just is filling the bottom portion of this citadel, kind of like, I guess they don't want it to escape into hell proper because it's so poisonous, so they kind of have it vatted up just in the bottom portion of the citadel here. And they see bodies that are hanging, being drained, bled, whatever, you know, a little bit grosser than the humans in the Matrix battery scenes, but basically that's the same concept. They're powering everything. And they come to life when the when non-apparently infernal people enter. They, I don't know, come to life to stop them, come to life to want to consume them. I'm not sure why, but they just become more aware and they start attacking. To prevent this, Lady Death uses her sword Chaos like she's been stabbing people previously, only she lights up all of the apparatus that all of these creatures are attached to, and she burns them all out, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, filling the whole bottom portion of this castle, just explode into these energy bombs, if you will, throwing body parts all over the place, particularly eyeballs. That seems to be a popular thing to draw being flung all over the place, are eyeballs. So Lady Death and Jacob are, he is grateful that she saved him. And in one panel, she says, "I won't betray you like that," in response to something he said. And we see his face, and his face is not looking right. So here is the sign that something is up with this dude. Everything isn't what it seems, which is kind of what barely I expect from having read the first book. But my memories of reading Lady Death and the fact that she is in hell is that lots and lots and lots of things are not as they appear. That seems to be kind of a guiding point of storytelling in this setting, is that there is much magics and much sleight of hand and things, illusion, things not being what they seem. They reach a portion of the castle heading upwards, but it is a very thin hallway, and so that tells you, of course, that their course is going to be blocked, and they round a bend, and sure enough, it is blocked by this large, greenish, half-mechanical monstrosity with artificial metallic claws, or maybe both of its hands turn out to be mechanical to begin with. Some kind of funky body armor with hoses and tubes and a breathing mask over its face. The mask having sickly greenish colored runes on it, much like Hazan's chest and shoulder insignia. Not quite the same runes or anything like that, but to me, conceptually the same and the same color. As they're walking up the stairs to attempt to fight through this beast so they continue on their journey, several statuettes, we'll call them, on the walls start emitting the smoke that Lady Death warns both Hazan and Jacob not to breathe, because what that smoke is the souls of the damned. She tells them to shut your mouths or they'll crawl down your throats and flay your souls. Wow. So she doesn't do anything, and we find out after this particular scene, she says she doesn't breathe, so there's no way for her to ingest them, which is kind of curious that she doesn't breathe. But so she gets up, and she and Hazan start fighting. Most of the fighting is by Lady Death, because, of course, she is our protagonist. Sword magics against this dude. He is wielding different artifices through his hands as they become different mechanical things, saws and whips and swords and all this kind of stuff. She is attacking the body. Hazan attacks the head. He is driven away, and the big guardian guy being distracted, Lady Death hacks through his mask, almost removing his head, but not quite. But in doing so, she has exposed this creature to the souls of the damned, and apparently they kill him. So they continue on their way, they being Lady Death, Hazan, and Jacob, and now they get to a wooden bridge over a big abyss, which is just something to draw, I guess, because nothing really happens there. It'd be a really good point to waylay them, right? And potentially somebody fall off or fall through or something. Yeah, but the story doesn't do that. They make their way on into the citadel until they lay eyes on the Hades engine. And just as they are standing there and glad, you know, oh, the end result of our journey, we have reached our goal, yes, Jacob pushes Lady Death over into the energies that this Hades engine is emitting, presumably killing her, but it turns out it doesn't. And then she erupts, a female erupts out of this body, and her name is Hellwitch. Turns out she is Seance's daughter. Seance is the evil sorcerer that Lady Death killed in the previous issue, the first issue. Somehow his daughter found out that Lady Death had done that and has been pursuing or attempting to pursue Lady Death. Well, she disguised herself as this Jacob. And as she is standing here telling the evil antagonist's plan, which is, you know, very stereotypical, of course. She says that the flesh puddle at my feet is merely an illusion. But if it is actual and it is puddled at her feet, is it really an illusion, or would that be more like a disguise that she wore? I didn't think illusions were tactile and physical. This is, there's a bloody pool at her feet. And she erupted out of Jacob like, you know, like, well, a chest buster out of a impregnated human for aliens. But so she is talking to Lady Death, who I thought had fallen to her death, about her plans and why and who she is. And that's like almost two full pages of comic as the evil antagonist relates her plan. Interesting. We see Hazan off here in the distance as the Hell Witch and Lady Death have gotten to somewhere that Hazan cannot quite get to. So he's having to watch as this fight is ongoing rather than coming over to help her. Now, Lady Death has been weakened greatly by being pushed into this energy being put off by the Hades engine. So the first part of this battle, Hell Witch pretty much has her way. They do some gouging and some throat grasping and slight cutting. Hell Witch has looks like some sort of infernal magical sword. It's made all of energy, it looks like. Cuts up Lady Death, death by a thousand cuts kind of thing. She gets close enough, bites one of Lady Death's ears off, and yes, we see it. Lady Death screams. She's about to administer the finishing blow. She has picked up Lady Death's sword, Chaos, but Chaos takes Hell Witch and twists her up like a dish rag, but doesn't hurt her or kill her. Hurts her a little bit, but doesn't kill her. And then she is thrown up against this pillar and in a much mangled looking form, like by all means she should be dead now. Lady Death picks up Chaos. Hell Witch jumps off of the pillar that she was embedded in with her glowy green sword. So now we have some sword to sword fighting going on here, punching, gouging a knee to Hell Witch's face with a vomit of blood, a gauntlet with bony protrusions to Lady Death's eye delivered from Hell Witch with a nice plume of blood there from Lady Death. Lady Death finally gets the leverage on her and throws them both off this platform that the Hades engine is sitting on, falling into the vile goo of all of the earthborn peoples that have been devoured to power the city. Both women falling headfirst. The camera shot is from above, so we get two fully formed crotch shots of both of these women as they're falling. Lady Death in her full alabaster finery and Hell Witch in her infernal dark brownish tannish finery, with Lady Death wearing black and Hell Witch wearing, I'm not sure what color that is. Let me see here. I guess maybe hers is black, could be some kind of brown, but yeah. Nice crotch shots there as they're plummeting into the pit. They land on a cage that is suspended. Lady Death lands atop the cage. Hell Witch has to grasp aside, pulls herself up, is about to deliver the blow to Lady Death, even though Lady Death was in a more superior position, and instead stabs Lady Death in the hand, causing her to lose her sword. As she is about to kill her, finally, Lady Death, now this is interesting. I think this is kind of a mistake here. Okay, they're both on top of this cage, right? The cage is suspended over the yucky ooze that nobody wants to fall in by a chain attached to the top of the cage. Lady Death is at the feet of Hell Witch. Actually, Hell Witch is licking Lady Death's blood off her sword as she's talking to her. I'm not sure how she manages to do both. I've tried to do that before with like an ice cream cone. My vocabulary is greatly reduced when I'm doing that. So I don't know how she does it. Maybe because she's infernal. I don't know. But about to dispatch Lady Death, Lady Death grabs the chain on the cage. She's sitting atop the cage. She grabs the chain on the cage, slices the chain all of this in one panel. The next panel, Lady Death is holding the upper portion of the chain, which is appropriate, while the cage plummets into the nasty, icky ooze below with Hell Witch atop the cage falling. So somehow, as she held the cage chain and cut the chain, she then grabbed the upper chain safely while the cage fell. Lady Death did all this. Yeah. I'm not sure how the heck. I guess that one panel there, she is just holding the wrong side of the chain is what happened. Sorry about that. You guys probably can't tell if I edit anywhere near decent, but I had to stop for a minute. The wife just came back from work, and I went in to see what we were having for dinner tonight because she got whatever she was going to prepare. So, yeah, the art is kind of weird. But Hell Witch plummets. She falls into the ooze atop the cage, and then she erupts out of the ooze screaming A-R-R-R-R-G-G-A-A-A-R. As the ooze affects her whatever way, and then she sinks back down into it finally with an A-H-H-H. Ah, okay. And then a big fakoom explosion as whatever about her interacts with the nasty greenish ooze that's in the bottom of the citadel. Lady Death turns her attention to the Hades engine as something is happening. Either the Hades engine is burning itself up, throwing itself apart, or the citadel is falling around it or something, but things are kind of broken up. And looking through or into the energy of the Hades engine, something, she sees Hazan. But now Hazan has been changed greatly also. He is this big, hulking, infernal-looking thing. He still has his intelligence. He can still speak just fine, and what he speaks makes sense. But physically, he has changed quite a bit. I'm not sure if it's... I don't think he fell into the green ooze. I don't think he's interacted with the Hades engine that I can tell, but maybe he did walk into the energy of the Hades engine and he has come through it and that's changed him. Maybe that's what the scene is about here. But their fighting is not over. The other guards and soldiers and whatever there at the Citadel have found out what's going on and are going down to sea to protect the Hades engine. So there is one final battle between all of the infernal guards of Damnation City protecting the Hades engine on one side, and then Lady Death and Hazan on the other side. Well, in a break in the fight, Lady Death calls down her horse again, calls down her horse because on the dirigible it was an illusion, and is making good her escape because the numbers are just too vast. And she tells Hazan, but Hazan is like, no, fighting is the way that I want to go down, so I'll stay here, I'll be your rear guard, you go. She's escaping, she comes across the real Jacob and frees him and takes him on board the flying horse as she flies off, leaving Hazan, who we see at the last, has survived his encounter with the guards. Because then the final scene of the story is, we're told by the narrator, above New Orleans, the French Quarter, the present. And here is a darker-skinned lady showing boobs and nips through her top here. So apparently either it's cold or she's very excited with what she's doing. Spirits of the dead, I call upon you, she says, over top some candles that are burning. I'm not going to read that because I don't know if it's real or not. Grant me your power, da, 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 da. And she has some kind of computer. So it looks like she is mixing ancient magics with some sort of contemporary interdimensional kind of portal thing connected to a laptop. So we have voodoo things over here, a dead bird and blood and a voodoo doll with pins in it and candles and all this stuff. Etchings on the floor, but over here to the other side, we have a laptop connected to some sort of projector that is projecting something up into the air that is, I don't know, symbolic or something there. I don't know. Looks like maybe her phone is laying on the ground here. And at the end of her incantation, or maybe interrupting it, we see someone from the side here says, being a mite dramatic, don't you think, Rada? Rada Beauregard is her name. Come on now, put that thing away. You're embarrassing yourself. As she's drawn a gun on Brock, who is here, sitting down on the ground amongst the gravestones and hovering on top of the big mausoleums and gravestones, kind of like some kind of bird of prey or a vulture, is the Archangel Michael. And I didn't notice this before, but in Michael's balloons, there's kind of a golden band around the outside of it, whereas everyone else just speaks. So turns out that she, her incantation either was calling for intercession from Brock and Michael, or they used that as an opportunity to go topside and help this woman out with whatever she is requesting help from. And it turns out that she has had a vision that the Trinity are coming. They're ancient and they're very, very pissed off. The Lao says the Trinity intends to cleanse the earth of all mankind for our transgressions against Mother Earth. And the Trinity are the three hags, the three women, whatever you want to call them. One has long flowing red hair with really scary looking red eyes and maybe some kind of animal-like scaly kind of hands. One is a rather normal-looking blonde lady who is a big fan of spikes here. Long white hair, kind of like Lady Death's. Nothing really standing out about her bodysuit. Looks like she's wearing a bodice here. The redhead is wearing some kind of zipped-up bodysuit, zipped up all the way up to her throat. But the third is in the middle here, and she looks rather zombie-esque with no nose and no lips, a greenish kind of lizardy alien-looking, funky-colored eyes, long black hair. She looks like the scariest visually of the three. Not hags, the three crones, I think, is what I've seen them described at. And that's where you two come in, says Radha. They also said we'll need help from a legend. And she holds up a picture and points to it of Lady Death. So Brock and Michael, who are involved with Lady Death being awakened anyways, are being asked by Radha Beauregard to summon Lady Death, perhaps topside, to fight these Trinity that she has been warned about that are coming to Earth to destroy all of mankind as punishment for just being the loathsome, not caring for Mother Earth creatures that we are. Final scene is Hellwitch coming out of this icky, nasty pool, greenish ooze just slimy running off her body, barely covering the parts that you have to cover to not be X-rated. As she says, run far and run hard, Lady Death. This is not over, for certainly it has barely begun. And that's where we end this second chapter. So, more of Brock and Michael that we've seen before in Lady Death. Now Lady Death is in the company of this young child, Jacob, as she is leaving the city of damnation going somewhere. She's still in hell, as far as we know. Another ally, Hazan, only he lived, whereas last issue, what was his name? Wolf was killed. But Hazan has lived, and he has been changed. Hellwitch, who was defeated, but she has come back, she has been changed. That is Seance's daughter. And in a little bit more, we find out that Damnation is the name of a city here. And I guess this Hades engine is still intact, so it may be something that still can come up in the future in a storyline to allow Lady Death to pass, perhaps at her behest, from hell to the to above. And there we go. Still don't know what Brock is. I'm curious what kind of creature he is. And still curious why the Archangel Michael is even involved with a infernal creature, earthborn, hellborn, whatever she may be. She is questionable. Brock is most certainly hellborn, and Michael is interacting with him. So I don't know what all that means. But perhaps we'll get more information next time when we look at... Yeah, no, I don't think so, because the next book is Zack the Zombie Exterminator. And I believe that's a different character that occurs here completely on Earth. So then we get the introduction in the fourth episode of a young lady, La Muerta, who is a long-standing other creation of Polito's that they start dropping books for interchanging with Lady Death as they introduce characters into this world. So she will be it'll get to the point where we're alternating for a while between Lady Death and La Muerte chapters. And they do kind of meet up eventually, but not at first. At first, they are two standalone stories before they come together. Not really a crossover, but they just meet a couple times. All right, guys. Any questions? Any feedback? I gave you the ways to get in touch at the top of the show. Thanks for hanging in there with me. I'll talk to you again next time. Ciao.